Welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
With no opposition, I have found those people to be doing nothing for God. You look at anybody that God has used, and you've heard me talk about this so many times. I've talked about Wigglesworth, and I've talked about Catherine Kuhlman, Amy Semple McPherson. I mean, they called her a prostitute. What a lot of people don't know is Oral Roberts buried a son that committed suicide. You think that was easy? My guess is no. So I've preached some funerals for families that had children that died. And that's some of the hardest stuff that I've ever dealt with, and I've never dealt with it on a personal level. I've never buried one of my children. And I sure don't want to. This life can be brutal. How many of you know that? I preached this sermon on Wednesday night, and ever since I preached this sermon, my life has been brutal. And so, being the coward that I am, I'm just going to preach it again today. I had a friend one time. He's brand new in the Lord. And he was a fighter. One time a kid was running from one of his sons. I'm going to leave names out to protect the innocent. And the kid runs in his house. And his dad said, "Who are you running from?" And the kid said, gave his name, and he said, "Well, is he any kin?" And he mentioned the guy that I'm talking about. He said, "Is he related to him?" He said, "Yeah, it's his son." He said, "Well, you better stay in the house then." And he told me, he said, "I just wish I could get toe-to-toe with the devil in my front yard and just get this thing worked out right now." He said, "I'd just like to beat the..." And he said a few things that he'd like to beat out of him. And I told him, I said, "Well, that's just not how this works. You can't take your fists and beat the devil. The weapons of our warfare, they are mighty through God, but they're not carnal. They're just not carnal. The devil is more powerless to your faith and your prayer than he would ever be to your fist. But it is hard." And if you have your Bible, open it to 2 Timothy. And I'm going to ask some of you to volunteer at the end of this time of preaching. Wednesday night, I had us pray before I preached. And if you watch the video or you're here Wednesday night, then you already have some insight. But tonight we're going to pray after I preach. And I hope it inspires you when you see what God says about this stuff, because this is one of the most encouraging messages on spiritual warfare that I've ever preached. And I first heard it from Bill Johnson. Bill Johnson is a tremendous Bible teacher. And I preach it unapologetically. Once somebody preaches it, it's public property. I don't have any problem preaching somebody else's stuff. I've had people literally ask me, "Can I preach?" because they want to preach what I preach. And I said, "Once I preach it, it's yours. Do with it whatever you want." But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "You therefore, my son, We're going to pray for some people, some very impossible situations here in just a little bit. I don't know. I've tried to reach out and get a little more detail. Ralph Casebolt called me last night, and everything that he said was bad about Brother Kilpatrick. Had a stroke, and a very severe one is what Ralph said. And then I texted Nathan Morrow, and he wasn't nearly as negative. And so I'm not sure what's going on, but we're going to pray for Brother Kilpatrick. We can't go wrong praying for him. And I know Gary Chambers' granddaughter has got some major stuff she's facing, and so we're going to pray for that. Because once you see what God says about warfare, hopefully it will encourage you to know that we can't lose. We just can't lose. And see our problem, this is our problem. God's solution isn't our solution. That's our problem. Because God doesn't do it like we want to, and so we get mad. Pout. Get our bottom lip hung out. Step on it a few times. God doesn't do stuff like, you know, he is not. Bill Johnson said, you know, Bill Johnson buried his wife. 10-year battle of cancer. Ralph Casebolt buried his wife. 13-year battle with cancer. Now, if you would go talk to Miss Benny, or you would go talk to Miss Debbie right now, they'd be going, I don't want to go back. I'm good, right? You just come on up here, Ralph. I ain't coming back. Bill, you hang on down there. Do good. Preach right. But you're on your own. Just you and the Lord. Because I'm staying here. That's victory. People in the faith movement criticize, saying that putting off our body is not healing. Bull-oney. It's the biggest healing you're ever going to get. No more sickness, no more sadness, no more heartache, no more sorrow, no more taxes. No more inflation. But they keep telling us everything is all right. We're like making a choice between putting enough gas to get to work and enough groceries to put on the table. You say, well, nobody's doing that. You're just wrong. They are doing that. Golly, the price of some things. I'm going to a place where I can afford to do whatever I need to do. Hallelujah. He said, come buy milk of me without price. Now, I'm not a big fan of milk, but some of you like it. I'm thinking the milk in heaven will probably be better than what we got down here. Billy says, got to have chocolate. Probably has some honey in it. Imagine the honey in heaven. Paul telling Timothy, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And just real quick, because this is such a messed up theology that we have in the West. Grace is not freedom to live like the world. The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness, to walk holy before the Lord. The grace of God empowers our inward man, and that in itself manifests outwardly in the way that we live. The grace of God is the power of God to crucify sin, to crucify the flesh and its evil passions and desires. That's what the grace of God does. And so if you're not experiencing that, you've believed a lie, or you're not believing the truth. And you can say, well, that's the same. No, it's not. It's not. Some people just have no knowledge in the matter. Because once you really believe what the grace of God does, then it will manifest. And it comes out, it comes in layers. These thoughts were coming to me about grace, and I really didn't even intend to talk about it. But grace, it peels us like an onion. And you may think, as you're growing in this, and we're going to see this in just a little bit where we're going, you may think that you're going through the same thing over and over again, and that is not necessarily true. It is a possibility. Sometimes we just keep going around the same mountain because we refuse to obey God. And I love the school of the Holy Ghost. He does not grade on a curve. And you don't pass the test until you pass the test. You know, we live in a culture, and I love Dexter Manley. I think he's a good guy. But he graduated college illiterate. He could not read or write and graduated college. Major Oklahoma University. How is that possible? He could play football. I'm not lying to you. The school of the Holy Ghost is not that way. You're going to have to pass the test in order to move on. Or you get to keep going around the mountain until you do. But sometimes you're not going around the same mountain. Sometimes God is taking off another layer. Some of these things are deep within us. Trauma is a horrific thing. People say, trauma didn't affect me. Then you didn't have any. I've seen it affect people. I've dealt with the effects of trauma for about 58 years. I just got set free about 4 years ago. So yeah, it's real. And sometimes God just keeps peeling layers and layers, and it feels like you're going through the same thing over and over, but He's getting deeper and deeper all the time. And you're gonna see it here in just a little bit. Because we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. So if you belong to God, you will be like Jesus. It's going to happen. With or without your will. So the Lord would never defy my will. The Lord will bend your will to His and make you think it was your idea. Do you belong to Him? If you do, He will correct you. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you've heard from me, this is a father talking to a spiritual son, Paul telling Timothy, the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others as well. He's looking for Timothy to raise up leaders, to teach other people, to disciple other people in the things that Paul taught him. You therefore must endure hardship. One translation says, You must overcome the evil of this world. Not you should overcome or you may overcome or there's a possibility that you overcome. Paul said you must overcome. You must. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no one entangled or engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of his life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. We have been drafted into an army. We are in a world at war. Everybody's worried about World War III. The biggest war the world has ever known has been raging for about 6,000 years. And it's not going to end until this dispensation is over. And then there'll be 1,000 years of peace. And then it'll spark up again. But it will be well taken care of that last time. Because the enemies of God will be consumed with the fierceness of his mouth. And they'll disappear. All the things that you've been praying on those people that you really, you don't want anybody to know you're praying. You know, God burn their house down with them in it. I know none of you have ever had that thought of people that betrayed you, lied to you, stolen from you, abused you radically. But it's coming. They will be burned down with the house they're in. We're in a war. And it's hard. It's not any fun. So y'all are having fun in this? I'm not having any fun with the warfare. It just wears me out sometimes. I get tired. I get sick and tired. I get sick and tired of being sick and tired. But take heart. In Romans chapter 8. I'm just going to go through a few verses. And some of you saw this for the first time just a few days ago. And some of you have known this. And some of you will see it for the first time today. But this is one of the most encouraging passages of Scripture that exists on the issue of warfare. It says, likewise, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. Warfare will make you feel weak. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. There's sometimes in the midst of warfare, I can't even think a sane thought. I'm just overwhelmed. There's no way I'm going to be able to pray well except in tongues. I love what Bill Johnson said when he's talking about the Spirit making intercession for him. He said he'll come before the Lord and he said, oh God, I need $1 million. And he said the Holy Spirit will step in front of him because that's what intercession is. Intercession is the Spirit coming between me and Father. I'm back here. I just asked for $1 million. Holy Spirit steps between me and Father and says, don't give him that. No. That'll just ruin what we're doing with him. Don't give it to him. He's asking for it, but he don't know what he's even asking. You know, most of the people that win the lottery, it ruins their lives. Almost all of them. There are very few instances of people that win large sums of money that it doesn't just completely destroy their lives. I've watched a documentary on it. They all ended up divorced, alienated from their family, because when you come into a large amount of money, you're going to suddenly have so many friends. Your phone will never stop ringing. People will be, it'll be a nonstop deluge wherever you live, knocking on the door. And many are legitimate things that are going on. There's people, charitable organizations. They need people with a lot of money to support them. And it's good stuff they're doing. But if you got $100 million, you're going to get tired of answering their questions. You wonder why rich people live in gated communities. Nobody has their telephone number. Nobody knows how to get a hold of them. Because suddenly you have 432 uncles. And your parents have no siblings. Tremendous responsibility goes with tremendous wealth. Sometimes we're asking God for things that's going to be more harmful to us than good. And when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. When I am overwhelmed and feel like giving up, I told you a lady had a dream about me and Kathy not too long ago. She dreamed and gave us a tremendous prophetic word. But part of the prophetic word was, don't quit. Now, if God tells you prophetically to not quit, you are going to feel like quitting. He doesn't tell you not to do something that, well, I've never felt like quitting in my life. Then why would he tell you? Why would he have to tell you to not quit if you've never felt like quitting? That was just a dumb word. Why would he give me that word? I've never wanted to quit as long as I've been pastoring. That's what Ralph said last night. He said, how are you doing? I said, I'm a pastor. He laughed and laughed and laughed because he's a pastor too. Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God is praying his perfect will over our lives by the Spirit. Hallelujah! We are acting like God is not paying attention. He doesn't know where we're at. He doesn't know what we're going through. And the entire time, we're back here in the mully grubs. We're in the garden eating dirt and a few worms. And the Holy Spirit steps in front of us. And he's praying these profound prayers, these earth-shattering prayers, these heaven-moving prayers. And we're back there wallering around. Guess whose prayers are going to get answered? See, it's no wonder. Verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good. Even our groveling. Because God's not even paying attention to our groveling. He's paying attention to the Spirit that is before us, praying for us, because there is a purpose and a plan and a divine order to what we are being done with in our lives that cannot be moved, cannot be shaken. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. He'll let you grovel for a little bit, but then he's going to jerk you up out of there and he's going to straighten you up. It's like the meme, some of you have probably seen it, where the guy wipes his face off and throws the towel and says, I quit. He threw in the towel. God threw it back in his face and said, wipe your face and get back out there. Yes, sir. Just how strongly does he have to speak to you? Because he will. All things are going to work together for good. The hard things, the good things, the easy things, everything that we go through. Why does God allow the devil to hit us in the head? Because he's trying to knock the hell out of you. Satan Some of us need it. And I know there's people, especially in the faith movement, they hate this teaching. Oh, I just don't believe suffering produces anything good. Well, then you don't believe in Romans 8 and 28. Because it says all things work together for good. All things. Well, you're smarter than that. You don't have to suffer. You may be smarter than that, but don't give me that much credit. I hope you are smarter than that. I really do. I hope you're not like me. That really worries me that you possibly could be. Not that we think, not that we hope, not that we have faith for this. We know all things are going to work together for good. Verse 29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined. When he saved you, don't you remember the story? I'm in that stupid plum thicket. I crawled in there like a rabbit. And I'm sitting in there sobbing. No one can see me. I'm out in the middle of nowhere saying, God, I should be farther along than this. And he spoke to me as clearly as I've ever heard his voice. Barry, the day that I saved you, I knew that you were going to be in this plum thicket. I knew that you were going to be praying this, and I saved you anyway. See that detour that you just went through, that 6 months, that 6 years, that 16 years, however long it lasted, you thought you'd run away from God. Well, God knew the day he saved you, you were going to go through that mess. And he said, I'll even work that out because you've been predestined to be conformed. Apparently you don't know what the word conformed means. It means whatever it takes. I'm going to shape you into Jesus. You remember the old Midas commercials? You can pay me now, or you can pay me later. You can do this the easy way, or you can do this the hard way, but we're going to do this because I saved you and what I paid for you gives me every right to do what I'm going to do with you. We were not bought with a cheap price. We were purchased with the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And it probably has already been announced. But we are going to celebrate Passover because that's God's holy day. That celebrates the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son. The price being paid. And it's RSVP because we don't want to buy too much food. So you let us know if you're going to be there. It's the 28th, if I'm not mistaken. It's on a Sunday night. God said, I'll bless you if you'll come. That's what he said. God literally says this about Passover. He said, I will be there. He said, I will be there. Yeah. Now, when he says that, I'm saying, I'm going to be there too. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. What shall we say to these things? Or what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And sometimes we read that like there's no opposition. But how many knows there is opposition? We just read the reality that there is opposition, that there is warfare that's going on. We wrestle against devils. People oppose us. Devils oppose us. This thing is hard at times. But what God is saying is their influence can in no way affect the outcome. They don't have a vote in this. They don't have a say in this. The only way they can possibly be successful is that if they can make us quit. If they make us quit, we lose. Long as we stay in the fight, we always win. It is a fixed fight. Verse 32 says, he who did not spare his own son. He's telling us why this stuff works. But he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So whatever it is that you need, he gives us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. It's all coming. It's all ours. I remember one time the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, if you need it, you have it, or it's on the way. God supplies all of our need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He does not hold anything back. Now, if there's something that we're not getting or it's not on the way, it's because we don't need it. I don't need $1 million. I don't need the headache. I can't even keep all the oil changed in the motors I've got out there. The more stuff you've got, the more of a headache it becomes. That's why people my age, they have a thing, I forget what they call it, but they're just getting rid of stuff. What is that called? Downsizing. I know why they're downsizing. We spend our whole life accumulating junk. And that's all it is, because you go buy a brand new car. You drive it off the lot, it starts decaying. And you can take care of that thing. The best person at taking care of something can't even keep it going for 100 years. But I'm headed to a place that in 100 billion years, nothing will have diminished. Nothing will have diminished. There is no rust in heaven. There are no moths or flies. They can say that climate change is not real. I've always believed that it's possibly real. I just didn't think that people could do anything about it. That's just the way I look at it. We had an ice age here 10,000 years ago, they tell us. And there wasn't nothing anybody could do about that either. But this year, I had flies for 12 months. Used to in Oklahoma, you had a couple of 3 months of no flies. They're here all the time now. And I hate them. I have 2 fly guns. You seen them salt guns? I'm going to tell you, them some fly-killing son of a guns. And I don't know who shot my dog. It was not me. But you break out a salt gun around Bruiser, and he goes and hides. Lincoln. He gives us all things. Verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore has also risen, who is at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. I love this. Because Father tells us, He tells us right at the beginning of this passage that we're looking at, He said, when you don't know what to pray, when you're in the midst of your weakness, the Holy Spirit steps in front of you and He prays perfect prayers to God. He prays according to the mind of God. He prays according to the will of God. He prays the mysteries of God. He prays what needs to be prayed. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead prays for you. And Father says, I know how you all are. I know that's not enough. You'll still get depressed. So I just want to add one other thing to that. Not only has the Spirit of God stepped in front of you and is praying the mysteries and the will of God and the mind of God, but He said, at my right hand is seated the one who paid the price, the one who bore your stripes so you could be healed, the one who shed His blood so you could be redeemed, the one who gave all for your all. He's at my right hand. And He too is interceding on your behalf. We got Holy Spirit in front of us. Jesus in the ear of God. It's going to work out. It's going to be okay. We are going to get through. And we all know how hard it is. We know how overwhelmed we become. Paul goes on in verse 35. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yea, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're going to end our time here this morning, afternoon, whatever it is, on this simple little phrase. Where He says, nor things present, nor things to come. That is such a weird statement. In the midst of all, He's neither death nor life, nor created thing. I mean, that's pretty vast. He said, none of that will be able to separate you, nor things present, nor things to come. And Paul had used that phrase one other time. In his letter to the Corinthian church in verse 21 and 22 of chapter 3. And he's chewing them out. Because they're saying, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas. And so it's creating division in the church. And Paul is like, he's just not going to have it. He said, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Who is Cephas? Did we die for you? See, sometimes we maximize the minimized. We minimize the maximized. When the whole time, if we just keep our eyes on Jesus, our focus, our adoration, our love, our worship, Paul says, therefore, verse 21 of chapter 3, let no one boast in men. He said, for all things, listen to this. For all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos, Paul's saying the church doesn't belong to the apostles. The apostles belong to the church. Paul's saying, we are your servants. All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas is Peter, or the world, or life, or death. He said, all of this belongs to you. And here he says it, or things present or things to come. All are yours. Things present, things to come. If you were here Wednesday, you know there's one thing missing. If you watched the video, you know there's one thing missing. Things present, things to come. The here and now and what's ahead. And you might think, well, what's ahead doesn't matter, but Paul said it belongs to you. You may not know what it is. You don't know what tomorrow holds, but tomorrow belongs to you. Things present, things to come. What's missing? Past, present, future. The only thing that Paul doesn't mention in either of these passages is the past. One of the best sayings I've ever heard in my life, and I live by this when I'm in victory. The past, the good thing about the past is that it's in the past. Paul didn't say that the past belongs to us. He also didn't say that the past could not separate us from the love of God. He said the present and that which is to come, none of that can separate you from the love of God. He said the present and the things to come, that all belongs to you. We can think it's an accident that he left out the past, but it is not. Who is it that's always bringing up our past? Who is it that's always trying to destroy our heart with all of the betrayal, all of the lies, all of the dysfunction, all of our own mistakes? You know, there are people in this world, there are victims, and there are abusers. And I've been an abuser most of my entire life. But it doesn't matter if you're a victim or an abuser. It doesn't matter if you were hurt in the past or you were hurting in the past. It doesn't matter if you're a sinner in the past or you were sinned against in the past. If you hang on to the past, Jesus paid for all this. And when we allow the adversary to bring up all of the past, then we're believing what has been washed away by the blood. And if you believe the liar, you empower him. If you believe the lie, you empower the liar. Whose report will you believe? Things present, things to come. None of that will be able to separate you from my love. Things present, things to come. It all belongs to you. It's yours. Jesus said, this is mine. The only question is, are we going to let him have it? And it's not that we don't testify. I believe in testifying. I believe that we use our testimony to help people. But I've talked to so many people that have a horrific past like me, and we don't like even talking about it. I hate thinking about my past. People that I've destroyed. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that I don't have to live here. I'm choosing not to. I'm going to live in things present, and I'm going to walk into things to come. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I'm not worried about it. It belongs to me. I don't worry about what's ahead of me because none of that can separate me from Christ's love. I am bought. I am paid for. I am signed, sealed, and delivered. And so what I'm asking you to do this afternoon as we get ready to close and we get ready to pray for really difficult situations. I mean, if the report Ralph gave me about Brother Kilpatrick is right, he needs a miracle. And we're going to pray for any impossible situation. After that, even if we don't pray that well, we know somebody's going to step in front. We're so worried about praying well. I remember one time Ryan was playing Little League Baseball and his coach let him pray all year. And his coach was raised by a preacher and he told Ryan, because they'd had a rough year, he said, see if you can get this one above the ceiling, Ryan. Sometimes that's what we worry about, are our prayers getting above the ceiling. And maybe they don't. But when we pray, and we're not doing very good with it, in our weakness, we don't know what to pray as we ought. Holy Spirit just steps up and says, just ignore him, Father. He don't even know what he's saying. I'm praying the mysteries of God. I'm praying the will of God. I'm praying your mind, Father, because we're taking him places he doesn't even know he's going. We're taking him to do things that he doesn't even think he's capable of doing. We're taking him where you want him to be, Father, and we're not going to allow anything to stop it. Because this one thing he's got right. He's trusting Jesus. I want to get a mic. I don't know whose mic to get because I want people to lead us in prayers, impossible situations. I want to pray for Brother Kilpatrick. I want to pray for Kylie. And I want you all to lead us in these prayers. Situations that are hard and situations that are difficult. And even if we don't pray all that well, I'm just really confident this afternoon. Because I know as much as we are on the team, we are not the Juan Soto and the Aaron Judge in the room. Some of y'all don't know who that is. Just the mighty New York Yankees. And my Jesus and the Holy Spirit make the Yankees a bunch of chumps. You'll really like me, Ryan, because I almost said like the Braves, but I didn't say it. Which mic? Any. If somebody would lead us in a prayer. Somebody lead us in a prayer for Brother Kilpatrick. If you'll do that, just stand. If you'll lead us in prayer for Brother Kilpatrick. Now, I need somebody to take the mic. I know everybody will pray, but I need somebody that will stand and say, I will lead us in a prayer for Brother Kilpatrick. Just pick one, hand it to him, brother. I need somebody to stand up and volunteer to pray in the mic so everybody can join you in prayer for Brother Kilpatrick. He needs a miracle. Right here. Now you can stand and let's pray.
Most gracious and heavenly Father. Father, we just humble our, we just lay our hearts at your feet, Father God. Lord, we lift up our brother Kilpatrick, John Kilpatrick, Lord. You have touched his life. You have used him in such a powerful way to bring in revival, to touch so many lives, Lord God. So right now, Father God, we stand in a gap for our brother that has been attacked by the enemy. Lord, you know the level of depthness of how crucial this stroke was, Lord. But God, we call it void in his life today, Lord. God, we come and we lay the axe at the feet today, Father God, at the root of this issue. Lord, we ask that you would completely uproot this problem that is in our brother John Kilpatrick, Lord, that we ask that you would restore life to him, Father God. Anything that has been taken from our brother, God, today, Lord, that you would restore back to him what the locusts have taken and robbed him up this morning, God. Lord, we speak life in over his family and over him in himself, Lord. God, we thank you, God, that you are the Lord who heals your people, that you are Jehovah Rapha. And God, right now, from the crown of his head to the very soles of his feet, Father God, we plead the blood of the Lamb of God upon him right now. And God, we declare victory in the name of Jesus. Lord, we speak to this and command it to loose off of our brother right now in the name of Yahshua. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for every provision that you have made over John. And Lord, that you would continue to use him, Father God, that there would be a testimony come forth, a miracle. God, we are asking for a creative miracle right now where John Kilpatrick is, Lord God, that you would reach out of the heavens and that you would touch him, God, like you have never touched anybody before, Lord. God, that you would raise this man up and that you would stand him up on a solid foundation, God, and that you would continue to use him in a powerful way as you have to this day. God, I thank you, Lord, that we could call upon the name that saves. Lord, that your hand is not slack. And God, we thank you, Father, for your greatness and your mercy upon us, Lord. We ask that you would surround that family with grace and that you would strengthen them, God, that you would give them courage and power, God, by the Holy Spirit. That your word says that you did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And God, we decree that over our brother right now and over his family. God, we thank you for the victory, for the report that is coming back to us, Lord. God, that you are the healer and that you have not forgot us, that you have not turned your way away from us, Lord, that you said that you would be with us to the end of the age. And God, we thank you that we can hold firmly to the word of God because the word of God is living and powerful. And you're going to demonstrate that word in his life today, God. I thank you, Father, in the name of Yahshua. Lord, we give you all praise. In the name of Jesus, we speak to this brain. We ask that you reprogram his brain, that you bring it in line just as it was in his mother's womb. Father God, that you would restore everything that the enemy has tried to take from this man in the name of Jesus. Ha sotora bakaya tarasiya taramakaya nara sotora mako. Harasoria kara niete makani ata sotora makia na soto. We thank you for the victory. We thank you for the victory that we have in you in Jesus' name. Hara makaya.
Hallelujah. We need somebody to pray for Gary's granddaughter, Kylie. Just if you would be seated for a second. Gary Chambers' granddaughter, she is battling a brain tumor. And I need somebody to lead in prayer for her. If you would stand, if you'll lead that prayer. Not everybody all at once. Let's just have. Christy will.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this life, Lord. And we thank you for the freedom to come and pray for this young lady, Lord. We just ask that you put your hand on her, Lord, and just remove this tumor, Lord, and we rebuke any after effects, Lord. We just pray that you just bring her to full restoration, Lord. Touch her right now, God. Put your hand on her right now, Lord. Remove this tumor, God. Shrink it, make it disappear, Lord. Cut it out of her, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just lift up her family to be strong and faithful, Lord, to just believe. Touch her, Lord. Touch her right now, Lord. We bind any symptoms that she is having, Lord. We just remove. We just ask you just touch her and just remove this infirmity, Lord. In this attack, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the miracle. Thank you for the life. Thank you for the testimony. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Is there anybody that has something that you want the church to pray about, but you're willing to say, I will lead a prayer for this impossible situation, really difficult situation? Anybody?
What's that little girl's name? Kylie?
Yes.
Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I cast down every word that's been spoken over her in doubt and in fear, and we call them to nothing, Lord. But, Lord, we call for faith to rise up in her midst, Lord, and that the mouth of the enemy will be shut, but, Lord, that your mouth will be opened and loosened, Lord, to speak the words of life over her in Jesus' name. Let her live, Father. Let her be healed in Jesus' name. Father, I want to pray for Kairos. Lord, I went to the meeting yesterday, and we could see the stress on those that are leading it, Father. They're under stress, and they're under just opposition.
Yes.
And to me, that's an encouraging sign, Lord.
Yes.
But, Lord, the man named Mike that's leading this, Lord, you can see it weighing on him. So I lift up Mike to you right now, and, Father, just fill him. Just empower him. Strengthen him, Lord. Just give him a laser sharp focus, Lord, on the things that he needs to see and the things that he needs to say, Lord. Father, just give him strength and courage, Lord, and get for the whole group, Lord. Lord, you open the doors that no man can shut and shut the doors that no man can open. So, Father, I know you've got something special going to happen, Lord. And I just pray for each one of the team, Lord, that we'll be encouraged and that we'll walk in your peace and in your strength. Father, I pray for everybody in that penitentiary, Lord, that there'll be an expectancy rise up even today, Lord, leading into this, Lord, that they'll know that the Holy Spirit's about to do something big. But, Lord, I know that you're not even going to wait for that weekend, Lord, that you're doing things today, right now in that penitentiary, Lord, that you're raising up people, Father, that you're plowing the ground, that you're touching the hearts, Lord, and preparing, Father. Lord, we're not taking Jesus in there, Lord, because Jesus, you're already there.
Amen.
Father, I just pray that you'll use us, Lord. We're tools of you, Lord. Just use us as tools, Father, in Jesus' name. Gosh,
hallelujah. Anybody else?
The vision for the Enrichment Center is to be raising up kids. Our vision is to raise up children to be a light into the world. And that's really complicated to do whenever staffing, to be able to put teachers into the classroom who can pour out Jesus, because we're ministering to our staff. You know, we're teaching them how to love Jesus, and sometimes it works and sometimes they walk away. And so, I'll be honest, it seems impossible. It seems impossible to fill 4 classrooms and have 8 teachers and to have all the staff that come in and share the light of Jesus. And so I know God has called people. I know that sometimes, you know, child care is not the business to get into whenever you're wanting to be a millionaire. It's not the thing. But God is the provider, and I know that, and He has provided above and beyond for the Enrichment Center and our finance. But I am sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of feeling like we are not pouring Jesus into these kids. We've had kids that have gone on to the elementary school. I mean, 10 years in. I've actually, one of my staff went to the Enrichment Center, volunteer, or came as a volunteer teen from the, or not a volunteer, she was paid through Osage Nation, and is now an employee of ours. And so I just want to pray over the Enrichment Center for employees, and we're going to be, we're raising children up in the way that they should go. And so, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that it is laid at your feet, that it belongs to you, Father, that your blessing has been upon the Enrichment Center, Lord God, and that you have a call and a vision for it, Father. I ask that you call forth those who are and put them into position, Lord God, coming into this 10th year, Lord God. I just know this is the year, Father. This is the year that revival breaks out in the classrooms. This is the year that your spirit pours out, Lord God. I'm interested in their shapes and colors and all those things, but the most important thing is eternity, Father. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are pouring out your spirit, that we are built on a firm foundation. I believe your word. I believe every word of your word, Lord God. And I know that you fight for us, Father. So whatever is holding it back, whatever has been holding it back, Lord God, I break it in the name of Jesus. I ask for your presence, your manifest presence in this place, Lord, in those classrooms, Lord God. I bless your name. That is what I stand here and promise today, Lord God, that we will bless your name. We will bless you, the creator of all, Father. We will bless you, Lord. It's all about, we will give you all the glory and all of the honor, Father. I thank you and I bless your name that you are setting it into place, Lord God, each and every person, just as you have called them to do, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Let's close with this. If you have an impossible situation, something that you, only God can fix this. If that's you, just stand to your feet. You got something in your life. If God doesn't fix it, it can't be fixed. If you would just stand up. Anybody else? I just want to, if you got an impossible situation, that if God doesn't fix it, it's not getting fixed. All right, folks, you see your assignment. If you're close to these people, just gather around them and just begin to pray for them. And just pray with the confidence that even if we don't pray that well, we're not praying alone. Holy Spirit's going to pray. Need some folks right here with Zan. And if you stood up for that and nobody's around you, just raise your hand because people are starting to get up. Just if nobody's around you to pray for, you just raise your hand. If you stood up for an impossible situation, nobody's praying with you. Well, let's just gather around these people that are standing. Let's believe God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that you're the healer. I thank you, God, that you are the one that fixes impossible situations. I praise you, God. I praise you, Lord, that you turn around situations, God, that no one else can turn around, that you fix things, God, that no one else can fix. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Shora basere boko ramandia. Ito rabasere kero boko roboko. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're the healer. You're the healer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to you, God.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.